Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Thank you, Dave. Revive us again. Where in the Bible does that come from? I'm going to give you a hint. It's a group of people that's in effect dead, or else they wouldn't need reviving. Anybody know?
Maybe Corinthians, right?
Huh?
Corinthians.
No.
No.
No, this is after the exile. This would be before Daniel, but after the exile.
Oh,
it seems to me it's Jeremiah, if I'm not mistaken. It's either Jeremiah or Isaiah, one of the two.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, but Israel's in very, very bad shape. When we use the term revive us again, we always think revival service. Our revival service and revive us again in Scripture are two very, very different things. Chronological study of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 11, beginning with verse 15. He that is surety, co-signing again. Why bring it back up?
Didn't get it the first time.
It's a strong possibility. It is a strong possibility. The next verse will tell us why he's bringing it up again. I am enjoying studying through Proverbs to teach it to you because I am discovering some things about Proverbs I didn't know. One of the best things that I've discovered about the book of Proverbs is they are not random. They are in the order Solomon wanted them in. Discovering why he wanted them in that order, now that's getting a little challenging, actually getting a little fun, to be honest with you. But there's a reason why he repeats himself. He talks about co-signing four different times in the book. And it's like, all right, did he forget that he already talked about it? He didn't have a computer, so he couldn't just go cut and paste it out. He didn't even have a pencil with an eraser, for that matter. But he was wise enough not to need any of those things. It's here on purpose. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. That does not say he will be smart for doing it.
Right.
Okay? He will shout evil. The word smart there means shout evil. Ouch. He'll be sorry he did it. It will hurt. Yes, sir.
In my lifetime, I co-signed three notes.
Two of them were for me.
Are you sure about that?
I know for a fact you did two for me. I can tell you when you did it. And I remember every single one of payments tried to struggle to make it. What was you going to say? Keep going.
I'm going to say I don't recommend doing it.
No, don't. Do not do it. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. He'll wish he had not done it. And he that hateth suretyship, he that hateth suretyship is sure. Now this is clearly a play on words. The only way to guarantee is to not guarantee. He that hateth suretyship, which is guaranteeing a loan, he that hateth it is sure. The only way to guarantee is to not guarantee. Do not co-sign. Now, I have preached this for years and years and years because it's clearly in Scripture. But we have this idea that in this day and age you have to. That's nonsense. It is nonsense. Do not co-sign ever, even for our kids. Now, you say, Danny, that's kind of harsh. I practice this with all three of my kids. Still.
Yes. Amen.
Okay? Give God a chance to provide for them. God wants to do God stuff. But we don't give God time to do God's stuff. We are in too big a hurry just to fix the problem. What God is doing is much greater than just fixing a problem. He is growing us. He's maturing us. He's equipping us. He's teaching us. But when we start cutting corners, which cosigning is, that's all it is cutting corners. It's guaranteeing a loan, and you're thinking, I better not have to pay this thing. And I've convinced myself, God says, you know what? I warned you about that.
Ouch.
So guess what?
Ouch.
Yep. Again, verse 16 tells us why he's bringing it up again. Verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, especially today. A gracious woman retaineth honor. How many gracious women are there that you know? I know a lot of mean women. I know a lot of aggressive women. I know a lot of demanding women. Gracious women? I would say Rosalinda Marks would fit the category of gracious woman. How many women do you know that is just nice and quiet and gentle? There's very few in our world today. A gracious woman retaineth honor. I would submit to you, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything negative about Rosalinda Marks. Ever. Have you ever heard anything negative about her? I've never heard anything negative about her. Ever. And strong men retain riches. And I think this is the reason he brought up suretyship or cosigning in the previous verse. Strong men retain riches. Cosigning is unnecessary even today. Why? Because strong men retain riches. Why? Because God helps strong men. Now, what is a strong man? It's got nothing to do with physicality. Understanding that there is a dividing line in the book of Proverbs, seeking Jesus, which would be the strong, and not seeking Jesus. If we lose track of that, we come up with the third category. There's this really, really bad stuff. There's this really, really good stuff. But everybody fits in this middle section somewhere. It makes none of it apply to anybody. Okay? People who seek Jesus don't lack. Now, that's not to say they're not going to go through difficult times, because we are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We're going to go through difficult times. But this idea that I got to do what I got to do, no, you do not. You got to do what God says to do. When we do what God says to do, He then blesses it. What is the difference between having God's blessing and not having God's blessing? Very simple. Okay? How many of you have ever planted a plant? You took it out of the bucket, put it in the ground, put water at it. What percentage of the time does that plant survive in your situation, Wade? 50?
50-50.
Okay. Somebody else raised your hand. One of the guys. One of the DJ, what percentage of the time does it live? So 50% of the time they live. Okay. If you plant a plant in the ground to where a dog can get to it, and that dog can mark it, I promise you that plant's going to die. Because it's not getting a blessing, it's getting a curse. To curse is to cause to not prosper. To bless is to cause to prosper. You plant the plant the way that you're supposed to plant the plant. You give it the proper food, the proper nourishment. Keep the dog from doing what it does. You're now giving the plant a blessing. You increase its survivability exponentially. You've heard of this thing called Miracle-Gro. Okay, Miracle-Gro and God's blessing is Miracle-Gro is an excellent example of God's blessing. When we do things God's way, God helps that project do what He wants it to do. Doesn't guarantee success, because what He wants it to do may be totally different than what you want it to do. But if we don't seek God's blessing, if we say, you know what, you got to do what you got to do, guess what? God sits back and says, okay, well, let me know how it works out. Verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. The merciful man, we got to understand who that is. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. Okay? If you did not seek mercy, you would not be here tonight. Some point you sought mercy because you said, you know what, I deserve to go to hell, and I need Jesus. I need God's mercy to save me. You understand what mercy is. If I am merciful, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. If I show mercy, if I don't give what the other person deserves, I forgive. Okay? The person that forgives is another way we could say that accurately. The person that forgives doeth good to his own soul. How does being merciful, how does being forgiven do me good, gentlemen? Help them out, ladies. Whisper in your ears.
A lot of emotional stress is relieved. A
lot of emotional stress. Which is actually contrary to what a lot of people say, because a lot of people say that you got to let the emotional, you got to work it out, okay? But forgiving would be just to swallow it. But you're absolutely right. A lot of emotional stress just goes away.
Yep.
If, and I've heard this over and over and over and over and over and over. If I loan somebody something, and I watch for it to come back, about 50% of the time, it ain't coming back. Or it's coming back late.
Or broken.
Or whatever it is. If I give it to them, after I've loaned it to them, if say, you know what, it's yours. How does that do me good? Because I'm not watching for where it's at. On the other hand, if I give it to them, I still watch for it to come back. It's not really giving it to them, okay? Mercy literally is letting the person off the hook. In the same way that God shows us mercy, we have to show that person mercy. It does us good. Now, I submit to you, it's better to not loan in the first place. Just give it to them in the first place. If you don't have it to give, you don't have it to loan. And most likely, if you loan it, you're really giving it because it ain't coming back anyway. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. He that's cruel troubleth his own flesh. Merciful does good to myself. Cruel troubles myself. Two sides of the coin divided right down the middle by what?
Seeking Jesus.
Seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. What does justice do? In this country, we love justice. We demand justice. If being merciful does good to me, and being cruel troubles me, what does seeking justice do? I submit to you, it's a waste of time. It's not even worth mentioning. Again, in our country, we demand justice. Okay? This person did wrong, and you better make it right. It doesn't help.
Call Morgan and Morgan.
Okay?
Or go to Judge Judy. Be on TV.
Okay? You know who makes money out of that? She does.
Oh, yeah.
You know the richest woman in the world is? Judge Judy Shineland. Richest woman in the world. Check it out.
Wow.
Seeking justice will not get you the satisfaction that you're after. The right. Only way to do good, to get good out of a situation, is to show mercy. That's the only way. Mark my word on it. Look back in your past and see if these three things don't come. It hadn't panned out already in your life, okay? In the times to where you were mean, and all of us have been mean at one time or another, even Ramona. The times that you were mean, did it really give you the satisfaction you were after? It's okay, you can be honest. Kay's going, uh-huh. Are you glad you did it, though? Did it bring you trouble? Is it bringing you trouble right now? There you go. Scripture is true. Again, you might have to dig a little bit to figure out how it's true, but eventually we'll get to the truth. When we seek justice, did we really get it? How many of y'all have ever had something stolen from you and the person was caught? Raise your hand. Okay? Did it feel good, or did it feel like they got what they deserved? Yes or no? Okay, so you felt like that it did you good. Okay, I'm surprised at that. That's why we don't let women talk in this church. Again, Proverbs is how things normally work, not how it always works. The guy that does shows mercy, though. You ever shown mercy and wish you hadn't? All right, Jerry's shaking his hand. You want to tell us about it? Nope. Okay. I've never shown mercy and wish I hadn't done it. Never. You say, well, that's because you never knew it. Well, it could be, but when we show mercy, there is something that comes from God. It's in there. It's just in there. And I believe that it's there because it teaches us a little bit about Him. He wants us to understand Him. And I believe that He it's like, listen, this is what it's kind of like to be me. I think God likes doing that sort of thing. Again, is it always going to work? Nothing in Proverbs always works. I haven't found one thing in the Proverbs that always works. Okay, they're not promises, they're Proverbs. However, in general, I believe you can count on this. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. What he's doing is deceitful. And folks, there's a lot more of them than we realize.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more than that we realize. Who are the wicked? What makes them wicked?
Don't seek Jesus.
They don't seek Jesus. It's still hard to accept that definition. Do you know why? Walt Disney wrecked it. Okay? The Wicked Witch of the West, Snow White. Okay, that's wicked. Not according to Scripture, that's not wicked. Okay? Who goes to hell? Those who don't seek Jesus. Why do they go to hell? Because they're wicked. It's as simple as that. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. So then, can we expect most people to be good? Now, this is a math problem. Okay, can we expect most people to be good?
No.
You know why? Because most people don't seek Jesus.
Correct.
How do we know how many people seek Jesus?
How many people are in church?
That's a terrible way.
Well, as far compared to how many are not.
It's still a terrible way. Still a terror. How can we tell? You can't. That's the problem. You can't. That's why it's so necessary to show mercy. Okay? If we expect people to do good, even at church, we're going to have to show mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Or else we're going to be very frustrated all the time. How many of you, at one time or another, somebody at church, whether here or somewhere else, said something that hurt your feelings? Raise your hand. The rest of you are lying or you can't remember. Okay? People say stuff, but we're sinners. Okay? We expect people at church to be good people. That's the last place you should look for good people. People at church are people who realize they deserve to burn in hell. If we expect them to act like they don't deserve to burn in hell, we're going to be disappointed. We are going to have to show mercy. People hurt each other at church. That's why we have this reputation we talked about last week called
hypocrite.
That's where you find hypocrites is at church, all right? The wicked worketh a deceitful work. This can include Christians who are not seeking Jesus at the time. It's a deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness, what is sowing righteousness? We've got to understand the difference, and it's very simple. What is sowing righteousness? Right?
Seeking
Jesus. This is as simple as that. Sowing righteousness shall be a sure reward. What about those who are just plain good people? They are respectable, honorable people. Not saved, but they're good people. They're nice people. They're sweet people. They're good people. There's no such thing. How do I know that? Because they'd wind up in heaven without Jesus. Okay? I don't care how nice you are, without Jesus, you burn in hell. That's all there is to it.
Yes.
Yes.
Plus it says there's not one of them good.
Not one. But we have this idea that there's three categories. There's the bad people, there's the really good people, and then there's the rest of us that don't fit into either one of the categories. We kind of shift back. No, I'm telling you, it's a razor-thin line. Yes.
I used to consider myself a good person. I've never killed anybody. I wouldn't ever want to kill
Thank you
anybody
for that.
So
Thank you for not killing anybody. I do that all the time, by the way. It's like somebody starts talking about they didn't. Well, thank you.
The thing that used to worry me was being drafted and having to go kill somebody or possibly kill someone. Anyway, long story short, I used to think that I was good, but I was still afraid of dying.
Uh-huh.
Now that I have Jesus, I'm not afraid of dying anymore because I know where I'm going when I die.
Makes all the difference in the world.
So it takes all that off you.
It's that razor thin line of Jesus and no Jesus. Jesus is absolutely the difference when it comes to religion, when it comes to life. Either is Jesus there or he is not. The home Bible studies help me understand this a little bit. There's two types of people in the world. Those with a relationship with Jesus and those without a relationship with Jesus. Okay? There's lots of different characteristics in those subcategories. But either you got Jesus or you don't. Either you're seeking Jesus or you're not. All the rest of this stuff, if we get hung up on the details, suddenly it's this one tiny little group of people that applies to, but the rest of us, well, that's never, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. In fact, in most Proverbs, most people fall on the negative side because most people go to hell. How do I know that? How do I know that most people go to hell? Not which ones, but how do I know that most people go to hell?
Broad is the way.
Broad is the way, and many will be thereon.
Yep.
Okay, if most people don't go to hell, Jesus lied. Now that's sad. That is sad, but that's what he said.
Yep.
19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Now this proverb is another of the very clear ones. Okay? Tendeth. You could put the word tendeth, in my opinion, in all the proverbs, and they'd still be proverbs, and they'd probably be a little easier to understand. I'm convinced there is an assumption that because it's a proverb, it's not a promise. And that's something I missed my whole life. I struggled with Proverbs for so long. It's like, that says it's going to happen. That says it's... But very very often it didn't, and in some cases it almost never... There is one proverb that I've never heard of anybody experiencing, not one. And we'll get to it eventually. It's like, but that promises it. No, it doesn't. It proverbs it. How things usually work, even for unsaved people. Righteousness, seeking Jesus, tendeth to life. And as you look at history, that's true. Most people who have sought Jesus have benefited in this life from it. However, a few have been killed for it. And a lot of them were named Baptist.
Yep.
Righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. That doesn't say everyone who's a criminal dies. But quite often, they do. Quite often, they do. Count road signs of the people who have died in this spot. Now, that's a relatively new thing that we've been doing. Only in the last 10 years we've been doing that. But they're everywhere. They're everywhere. It makes you wonder why. What happened that this person died there? Was it his fault or somebody else's fault? In most cases, one of the two was at fault. They did something, and this person is now dead because of it. Last week, in one day, I drove up on two different death investigations by the Highway Patrol. In one day. He that pursueth evil... What is pursuing evil?
Not seeking Jesus.
It's texting and driving, pursuing evil.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to let you defend that one.
One, it's breaking the law. The law is there because too many people die because they are texting and driving.
Okay. Was it seeking evil before the law made it illegal? Because the same people died. Not the same exact ones, but they made the law because people were dying.
Right.
So was it seeking evil before the law was made?
Yeah.
How?
because there's a tendency to get yourself into an accident or kill yourself.
So how is that not seeking Jesus?
We're supposed to be careful with our lives, and
there's a certain amount of common sense that comes into play, and yeah. That's never going to happen to me. Okay? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Okay? When we text and drive, we know we're taking our eyes off the road, and we're still choosing to do it anyway because the odds are we're going to be fine. What if God wants us to simply pay attention and put the phone down? How would we know if that's the case? How many of that actually seek God's will? Should I text this text? Am I seeking Jesus, or is Jesus the last thing on my mind? I want to get this text out. Okay. Again, it's a razor-thin line. Am I seeking Jesus or not? And that could come in many, many different forms as to whether or not I'm really seeking Jesus, or is it he just doesn't come into play. If he doesn't come into play, I'm not seeking him. How often should we seek Jesus?
All the time.
According to this, all the time.
Yep.
All the time. I would highly recommend that we put this, make this a practice exercise. Before we do anything, say, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, show me you don't want me to do it. And then give him a little bit of time. Okay? I like the 3 days. That's not a scriptural thing. I just like the 3 days. But Lord, if you don't want me to do this, show me you don't want me to do it. And then just give him time to let you know. Now, how is he going to let you know? There's 3 ways that he lets us know. And they all have to agree. Okay? Do you remember what they are, gentlemen?
GPS.
Okay? Now, you've identified the letters. Let's get one of the other guys. What is G?
God's Word.
God's Word. Okay? God's Word has a lot to say about things we do today. A lot to say about things we do today. For instance, thou shalt not lie is reiterated in the New Testament. That's still valid for us today. But there's a lot of stuff we do today or don't do today that very much is lying. A lot of it's just falsifying the records. I wasn't exactly where I said I was at the time that I said I was there, or I cut corners a little bit, that sort of thing. God's Word can weed out a lot of this stuff if we just apply the very, very basic principle. What if we can't find a clear answer from God's Word? We got to add to that the P. What is the P, one of the other gentlemen?
Pressure or circumstances.
Pressure or circumstances. What am I able to do? What has God prevented me from being able to do? Could I do it even with some difficulty? Add that into the mix. But then even that, we can get deceived with. Add a third one to the mix, which is the S. What is the S, gentlemen?
Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Very good. What does the Holy Spirit lay on my heart? I just really feel like I should do this. Okay? Todd Marks is a wonderful example of this. Wonderful. Do not answer out loud. Should a missionary leave his mission work because he doesn't want to get the COVID shot?
Yes, God.
I got it. Only GPS can answer that. Only GPS can answer that. Okay? If God wants Todd Marks out of Peru, God is going to get Todd Marks out of Peru. And if that's what God chooses, to get Todd Marks out of Peru, then I support him 100%. On the other hand, if he just says, I'm not getting that shot no matter what, I don't care what anybody thinks. Now that I got a problem with. GPS, what does God's Word say about it? What do my pressure and circumstances say about it? And what does the Holy Spirit say about it? Will protect us so often as we pursue righteousness. It will give us a tendency toward life. No guarantees. But he that pursueth evil, that is the bigger one. Simply not seeking Jesus puts me in that category. Take a few moments and seek Jesus. So often we are so busy we don't read our Bible or pray at all during the day. I submit to you, make it what's going on in your mind.
Yep.
All, you may have to turn the radio off. You may have to turn the TV off. But it's a conscious exercise. It's practice. Remembering Jesus is right there with me. What do you think, Jesus? And then give him a little bit of time to show you what he thinks. You'll be shocked at how he will answer. Don't look for an audible voice. He tends not to try to freak us out. But you'll be surprised. I used to call him Jesus French. You'll be surprised when he will do something. It's so obviously him. It's like, okay, I got it. And you can't help but smile when that happens, because it's like, he did that for me. And it's so little, it's like, wow. But you got to understand, if we don't do it, we're pursuing evil. Any questions or comments on that? Turn to hymn number two. Hymn number two. This is our wake up song. See if this song has anything to do with the previous proverb. It may not. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it talks completely about that previous proverb. Hymn number two, I Worship the King. How many of y'all know this song? You're about to know it? Good. Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Any ideas on how this fits the psalm? Dave, do you have your hand up? All right, that's okay. Let's look for it maybe in the second verse. Oh, tell of His might. Oh, sing of His grace. Whose robe is the light? Whose canopy space? His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form. And dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Ideas, guys? Third verse. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. How about in that verse? By the way, I see you all over the place in that verse.
Yep.
Okay. Thy bountiful care. Bountiful means plenteous, okay? We talk about God caring for us. We talk about God providing for us. But count your blessings. And we can't think of nothing.
Right.
Okay? This is seeking righteousness or pursuing evil. I think in the third verse.
Okay?
You may disagree. That's all right. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend. Notice that last verse, frail children of dust. The writer of the song, Robert Grant, God Himself understands we're imperfect. God Himself understands that it's not natural to pursue righteousness. It is natural to pursue evil. Again, understanding it's just the difference of seeking Jesus or not. We're feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust. It's an exercise.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to do it. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, which we understand, those three. And friend? What does a friend do? A friend helps guide. I'm not done. I know y'all are thinking the last song. We don't do the last song here anymore. What do we do after the last song now? We go to the next verse. They that are of a froward is to depart. You can't depart this room yet. It's not time to depart. They that are of a froward heart or an abomination to the Lord. They who depart from what? That's the question.
Jesus.
Razor thin line dividing one from the other, very clearly dividing one from the other. They that are from her heart or an abomination to the Lord. There is nothing worse than an abomination to the Lord. He absolutely hates it. He hates it. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. What does it mean to be upright in your way?
Seeking Jesus.
Seeking Jesus. It's as simple as that. Now again, there can be a lot of subcategories in all of this. There can be a lot of nuances, a whole lot of circumstances that come into play. That's why we got GPS, all three of them. It takes work and exercise. But looking at the difference, we can be an abomination, or we can be his delight. What's the third category?
There's not one.
There's not one. If the only two choices are an abomination to the Lord or the Lord's delight, there's only one thing that can make the difference, and that's Jesus. That's it.
Yep.
That is the only thing that can make the difference. How many of you would consider yourself an abomination to the Lord? Raise your hand. Jerry, without Jesus, you're exactly right. Without Jesus, you're exactly right. How many of you would consider yourself his delight? Raise your hand. With Jesus, you're exactly right.
Yep.
With Jesus. Without Jesus, we're abomination. We deserve hell forever.
Yep.
But again, we're so used to, I'm not super bad and I'm not super good. I'm somewhere in the middle. There is no middle.
Amen.
Zero. Ever. There's no middle. 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. We see this all over the place today. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Because of the internet, people who agree on any subject can now get hand in hand around the world. They can support each other. They can encourage each other. They can create new emojis. You know what the latest emoji is? Lori can't tell you. Yeah, I heard Lori talking about it. The latest, you know what emoji is? It's on your phone when you text somebody, you have a little picture instead of drawing the word out. You say, yeah. The latest emoji is a pregnant man.
What? You're kidding me.
Show it to them, Lori. Not right this minute, but later show it to them. Okay? That's how big this topic has become. Why? Because hand is joining in hand. With the internet, I don't care what the topic is, you can find a lot of people that agree with you on it. I don't care what the topic is. And in fact, you can go on there and totally change your position and you'll find another equally large group that will agree with you on the opposite side of that. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Who is the wicked?
Do not seek Jesus.
Those who don't seek Jesus. That's all it takes. It's not the people who want to make men pregnant. It's the people that want to make men not need Jesus. And that group is massive. Okay? They can get together. They can join hands. I find it ironic. The rainbow flag. You see the rainbow flag, automatically you think homosexual. Here's what's interesting to me about the rainbow flag. Okay? A rainbow in the sky is curved, is it not?
Yep.
A rainbow flag is straight. What do we call straight people? Not homosexual. So the rainbow straight is supposed to mean homosexual. So the rainbow from God is for a group of people that don't like God. It's straight when for a group of people that's supposed to be... The whole thing makes no sense. But why is it so pervasive? Hand joins in hand, more so now than ever before. But you know what? They shall not go unpunished. But it's so much bigger than just these groups that are just so gross. It's just simply not seeking Jesus. And I submit to you, it happens in church all the time. It happens in church all the time. I was in a business meeting one time. Not here. at least one other church. But I wasn't the pastor, he wasn't the pastor, and Ben wasn't the pastor. So there's at least one guy. So we walked in that business meeting, and we were expecting the typical new business no, old business no, and you leave. That's not what happened. There were several of the guys in there that had gotten together, and they were going to fire him right there on the spot. It was ugly. And everything that was said in that business meeting, everything, had nothing to do with Scripture. Nothing. You're not doing this, and this is happening. You're not doing this, and this is happening. I just wanted to leave. Problem is in that particular meeting, we were in the fellowship hall, and the front of the room is where the door was at. So you came in from there, and everybody was looking at that. So if I left, I would be very obvious. It's like, I just had to tough it out. It's like, this is just so, so wrong. Though hand joining hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Several of those guys are dead and died not long after that. I'm not saying it's a direct result, but it was uncanny the number of them that wound up dead within just a couple of years. I think they probably even had some valid points, but the way they went about it was wicked. They weren't seeking Jesus. They wanted to get the pastor out, whatever the cost. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. These things have something to do with each other. Okay? The wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Tells me that the punishment can make it down to the kids. Now, this is something that is controversial today. Does God still do this? Okay? Does God visit the sins of the father on the children? Now, if you look, I think it's Ezekiel. He says he doesn't do that anymore. But very clearly, there are instances where the father can have an issue that bleeds down, alcoholism, that sort of thing, that bleeds down generationally. Yeah. So there can some things come into the play with that. The wicked shall not be unpunished. Certainly, when we get into the nation of Israel, we're going to see a lot of wicked people that seem to get away with it. But then toward the end, a lot of people who weren't so bad, but they get the grunt of God's punishment. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Setting all that aside, here's my question for you, because this is the popular thing of the popular side of this verse. Does this mean that my kids are guaranteed safety? Does this mean my kids are guaranteed safety? The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Well, it depends on your definition of the word righteous. And do you consider yourself in that group? Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, then why write the psalm? If there's no one in that category, why put it in the Bible? I submit to you, the same dividing line of seeking Jesus, not seeking Jesus, comes into play in this verse as well. The seed of the righteous, the children of people who seek Jesus, shall be delivered. Does this mean my kids are guaranteed safety? Tendency. Absolutely not.
There's a tendency only.
Tendency. If I'm seeking Jesus and teaching them to seek Jesus, there is a tendency for them to continue that path. It does not always work. But understand there's a difference between a proverb and a promise. Some of y'all still disagree with that. And I want to encourage you, if you're getting hung up on that, talk to me after. Okay? So listen, what you're saying, I just don't get. It doesn't make any sense. talk to me about it. Now, I have to tell you why. This is why I want you to do it. Number one, the ladies can't participate in this service, but you can sure talk to me one-on-one. Secondly, if you talk to me, that gives me an idea on what areas I need to pursue as I teach this thing, because there's a lot of these proverbs that are very, very similar, because there is, in fact, a razor-thin line dividing the two sides. So please, if you're having difficulty with that, talk to me after the service so we can maybe come up with something that's a little more understandable. I'm by no means an expert. I'm not Solomon. Yes, sir.
Can't a seed also be an idea? Like at work, they say trying to get people to replace shocks at 25,000 miles. Shocks last much further than that, but they say plant the seed. In other words, an idea. Can't it be an idea?
Okay, or, the idea of the righteous shall be delivered. How would that come into play?
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Or maybe saying you're planting the seed in their minds.
I know what you're talking about, planting the seed. I know what you're talking about. But how would that come into play in the verse? The idea of the righteous shall be delivered. It, and then you got to put it in with the beginning of the thing. That's talking about people, not ideas. So I see where you're coming from with the whole seed thing. I don't think it fits in the verse. Now, does anybody else see something different in that? Guys, sorry, ladies, she'll talk about later or whisper to guys' ear. There's a couple of verses in the Bible I wish wasn't there. And one of them is women being silent, or two of them is women being silent. I wish that wasn't there. I one day when, of course, I'm not Mormon, but Mormons, you get to become God and write your own book. Okay? One day when I write my own book, I'm not going to put that part in there. But God put it in there, and I'm sorry he put it in there, but whatever. But what am I talking about?
The concept of seed.
Yes. Okay. Does anyone have anything to add to what Ray just said? I think you're on a valid point in putting the seed, the idea, in there. I don't think it fits with the verse, though. Good.
In other words, it has to do with context.
Very much.
Okay.
Very much.
Delivered. So he's not talking about an idea, he's talking about your offspring.
That's what I get out of it. Okay. Now, if we can find something different, I'll be glad to update, but that's what I get out of it. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Anybody ever seen that? Anybody ever imagined that? Okay. I've imagined this a lot because it comes up in Proverbs. It's like, man, I wonder what that would look like. It would just look stupid.
Or lipstick on a pig.
I've never tried that.
That was in politics.
Oh, you're talking about Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago there.
Yep.
As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, totally inappropriate. It's something that we can't even hardly imagine because it's so stupid to consider it. So is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now that we can't imagine because we see fair meaning beautiful, pretty, attractive women without discretion. This seems to come out of nowhere though. It seems to come out of nowhere. What have we been talking about? The wicked and the righteous and their children. And suddenly he comes out of nowhere with a beautiful woman with no discretion. It seems to come out of nowhere unless Solomon is using wisdom to help himself. And I submit to you, he's going back to the stress. Okay? With much wisdom comes much difficulty. I can't remember the exact word that he used, but
sorrow.
Okay? I believe in my heart, as Solomon is writing this stuff down, he is getting stressed. He's getting tired in the same way that we sometimes have some difficulty with it. What is the thing that Solomon looked to time and time again besides the Lord to make himself feel better?
Women.
I believe this pops out of nowhere because I believe the urge just hit him. You don't need to be going through all of this. You've written enough. Go take a break. A fair woman. Our urge will fit here just as well. Our urge. What is our urge? It's still there. Okay? How many of you beat your urge? I don't have it anymore. Okay? That urge is probably never going to stop being there. But with wisdom, you can outsmart it. You can out-muscle it. You can win the individual battles. The war, that's something only God can beat. And it may take until you get to the other side of the grass before that urge is completely taken care of. But on a moment-by-moment basis, with wisdom, with God's help, you can, just like Solomon, get through the attack, for lack of a better word. 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. I can't wait to ask this question. How many of you does this apply to? I've taught you nothing. Thank you, King. Okay? The desire of the righteous. Righteous seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus is always good. Okay? This doesn't say we're always going to be righteous. That's the difference. I could seek Jesus now and then stop seeking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Paul, the writer of half the New Testament, said the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. Was he righteous?
Yep.
He was righteous enough to write half the New Testament. And I submit to you, what makes a man righteous is seeking Jesus, and that can go back and forth. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking about individual actions. Is there anyone that's righteous? I submit to you, there's a bunch. They're just too proud to admit it. Or too humble to admit it. Or maybe they don't know what they are. Maybe they're just too scared to admit it. With Jesus, I am perfection. Without Jesus, I am disgusting. And there is no third group. No third group. The righteous is those who seek Jesus. That will bring good. Father, thank you for Proverbs. It's amazing the things that it's teaching us. It's amazing the things that we're learning that, quite frankly, we never considered. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your job is to teach us, to take what we hear and analyze it and question it and say, is that really true or not? I pray that as we chew on these things, you will show us new things, things we could share with each other. Father, thank you for this group of people who came here tonight to hear me preach. It still amazes me they want to hear me. Thank you for giving me something to give them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.